I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's really happening. You guys, it's really happening. We're getting NBA and NHL playoffs in August. It's becoming even more real now that you watch multiple hockey games go into sudden death overtime. Or, because it happened again in the very first game on Wednesday, or you recognize that a two-goal lead is never safe. The Washington Capitals with a two-goal lead in the second period against the Islanders, and boom, Islanders come back with four goals unanswered, and they double up the Capitals. And that always seems to be the rule about playoff hockey, is a two-goal lead is the most dangerous spot that you can be in. And so then you throw in what's happening in Orlando and the fact that the Eastern Conference playoffs are locked up for the NBA. And yeah, it's happening. The second half of August is about playoffs. Playoffs? Yes, for sure. Here's what we know about the NBA. Number one, Milwaukee, against number eight, Orlando. Number two, defending champion Toronto, against number seven, Brooklyn. Doesn't look anything like the Brooklyn Nets of, say, 6 months ago, and yet this Brooklyn will take on the defending champs. Number three, Boston, versus number six, Philadelphia. Maybe not quite what was expected when the season tipped off what feels like forever ago, nearly a year ago. And the 4-5 matchup is Miami and Indiana.
Playoffs?
Exactly. In August. We don't know the exact matchups in the Western Conference. Remember, we're going to have that 8-9 weird play-in series. But it's not actually a legit series. The number 9 would have to beat the number 8 twice, but if the number 8 wins its first game, yeah, it's weird. But everything's weird in 2020. So we don't exactly know who the Lakers' first round opponent will be. And still, they're very much these teams that could change at the bottom of the Western Conference. And so we're keeping our eyes on the West, and I certainly do love the fact that we've got all this compelling action in August. But you know what I was thinking about on Wednesday? November is also going to be very quiet. Not as quiet as April. Not as quiet as May, because I'm believing there will be NFL games. But think about November. If we only have a handful of college football conferences who are moving forward and operating, and I hope that they are. We're going to hear from Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby coming up momentarily. But right now, on the schedule are fewer than 400 college football games. And we've talked a lot about the decisions to cancel and the decisions to move forward. But if we only have a handful of college games in November, and the NFL, who may very well take over that Saturday real estate, maybe you wouldn't miss the NBA and the NHL Thanksgiving weekend, because that seems to belong to football. But otherwise, it's going to be really quiet. There are going to be some golf tournaments. Weirdly enough, the Masters is right now scheduled for November, and I'm excited to see, probably not the Azaleas, but excited to see what Augusta National looks like in the fall. But there won't be any NHL or NBA, more than likely. Those two sports are both going to push back their start dates. And they should. Baseball, should be over by then, right? So the World Series is not going to go deep into November. The WNBA will be done by then. I guess a lot of other sports up in the air. Tennis could still have some tournaments then because of the way they've jostled their schedule. But yeah, it's different, which is really the understatement of 2020, right? I don't mind it. I mean, it's kind of boring the other way. I'm totally not boring. I'm being facetious. But why not mix it up? In 2020, why not throw everything on the sports calendar into a total flux? I still hate that we'll be missing a lot of our favorites in college football, and college basketball won't start on time or at all for some schools and some conferences. And so that's a bummer. It's disappointing for the athletes. But we do have some sports, and we do have some activities to look forward to. And so right now I got to focus on those. And that includes NBA, NHL postseasons, where the stakes are getting higher. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you survived your hump day just fine. And I hope that you've been enjoying what is really the March madness of hockey. The fact that we have games starting at 8 a.m. West Coast time, 11 o'clock in Toronto, which is where the Hurricanes and the Bruins began, because they were bumped from that 5-overtime affair. They got bumped. They were the casualty there and got bumped to Wednesday morning. But it is kind of fun if you're a hockey nut and you have the time, or you're working from home. It's easy to have the TV or the radio on in the background. I'm going to pretend like you're actually working when you're supposed to be working from home. And it's cool to have hockey as your background the entire time. I hope that you're more productive than many of us are during March Madness. And so hockey all day long, and the basketball not long after that. And then you also have baseball games that are starting early as well. So this is a weird August, like everything else is, and yet I think there's a lot to look forward to. And so I'm glad about that. We continue to march toward NFL teams engaging in physical contact and actual practices. That will begin next week, where they'll put some pads on and theoretically would be hitting each other outside of those quarterbacks in the red jerseys, because there are some things that do not change. If the apocalypse, say that really fast without thinking about it first. If the apocalypse happened, the red jerseys would survive. You know that for sure. And so we are here and we are covering it. And we've got two cool interviews that I'm excited about for tonight's show. We're going to go West Coast to East Coast. And coming up in not even 30 minutes, we'll spend some time in Vegas, where the Golden Knights are cruising. 15 goals in the three seeding games and no losses. And then they came out and they smacked Chicago in the mouth in the opener of their playoff series in Edmonton. And so the Golden Knights have a new coach, like actual new coach, and some unfinished business going back to a couple of years ago, their inaugural season when they landed in the Stanley Cup final. And a lot of people said it was a fluke. Well, this organization is using those lessons and, like I said, a new coach with some experience that they can now move into this Stanley Cup playoff bracket, I think, with more confidence. So we'll talk about the Golden Knights and the greater NHL postseason picture coming up with Justin Emerson from Vegas in 30 minutes. And then a little bit later in the show, he's got morning basketball. Sean Grady, who is the radio voice of the Boston Celtics, will join us. And he's doing games. He, along with Cedric Maxwell, are doing games from the Celtics locker room at TD Garden. So they're in Boston. No local broadcasters are part of the bubble at this point, though it may change depending on how they move forward. And we know families might be allowed in the bubble too once they get past the conference semifinals. And so we'll see how things might change. But for now, it's a cool setup. And Sean always does a great job. He was supposed to join us last week. And weirdly enough, we had some, I still have no idea why. We're thinking it might be UFOs because that would fit with 2020. Or maybe it was the killer hornets. We were testing out our connection, and for whatever reason, it sounded like there was a massive storm that was taking place between us and him in Boston last week, and the connection just wasn't good enough. Even in this 2020 year where anything goes, the connection wasn't good enough for us to bring him on the air. And so we decided we would wait until they got closer, and now we know the Celtics will play the Sixers in the first round, and we also know the other Eastern Conference, playoff matchups. So I guess Orlando, that's where they all are now. So Sean will join us a little bit later in the show. So we'll talk both hockey and hoops with a couple of different guests, and I'd love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. That's the name of the show. We're on CBS Sports Radio, and we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Our phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. If you haven't seen the photo that the Blue Jays tweeted from Buffalo a few hours ago, it's magnificent. So I hope you will check it out. And as we were wrapping up our show on Wednesday morning, we were talking about the history made with the Blue Jays in Buffalo, their first home game of the 2020 season. And Buffalo has made upgrades to its stadium where the Bison normally play. It's a AAA affiliate. And the way that they have gone all out to try to accommodate this major league club and make the Blue Jays feel at home has been spectacular. And the photo, it's almost like the heavens were smiling down on the Blue Jays and their new stadium. So please check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And as I was thinking about the Blue Jays being kind of uprooted and moving into temporary housing, so to speak, I was thinking about the moving process altogether. And I decided that moving doesn't have to be all that bad. And for the Blue Jays, even though they're kind of leasing the space here, although I think Buffalo is happy to have them, they're not there forever, we hope. What a cool way to be welcomed home by a stadium and by a franchise that wants you to be there and is happy to share the space with you. So check out that photo on Twitter. It's pretty sweet. And we'll talk a little baseball, too, as we head through this edition of After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. I mentioned Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby. He recently did an interview where he talked about the Big 12's decision to move forward for now. Let's be honest, everything in 2020 is a fluid situation, and that's fine. I give credit to the Big 12, the ACC, as well as the SEC, and there are some other conferences out there too, the AAC, for trying. What I kept thinking about and what I talked about on the show last time with the other conferences, it's not so much that they're sure football and fall sports can't proceed safely. No, it's that they didn't do enough of the homework and the research and the preparation to be ready for now. They wasted a lot of time, maybe thinking it wouldn't be a problem, and so no need to worry about health and safety protocols. Where, you know, the pro sports, and it's obviously different because they get paid to play and they get paid to coach. Well, college guys do too, but you get my point. It's their business. Whereas universities are supposed to be concerned with the education more than anything else. But they still wasted a lot of time. The athletic directors and the universities had the summer to figure it out and didn't. But at least the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC are moving forward and giving it a shot. You can always shut down. You can't reopen or restart college football and college sports once you've shut them down. That's not possible. Not in the limited amount of time that is reserved for sports in the fall. Not with the way that many universities are planning to reopen campuses, which is on time, some remote learning combos, no fall break, keeping them on campus until Thanksgiving break, and then sending them home where they won't return until after the first of the year for what would be their spring semester. So in light of that, there is not enough time to restart, even though, strangely enough, some of these college football teams are still practicing, It's not safe to play games, but it's somehow safe to practice. Again, I have no idea. But I believe that the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, they are going to try. They feel like they've got the health and safety protocols in place. For now, they're working. And they feel like they have the opportunity here to try. As I say, you can always shut down. You can't ramp back up again. And Bob Bowlesby said it was a difficult decision for those leaders in the Big 12, but that they came to it together.
All along, it has not been my decisions. It's not been solely the board's decision. It's been we've been relying upon healthcare professionals, people that are working in the space all the time. And ultimately, the safety and security, the good health and well-being of our student athletes and our staff members on campus is our number one priority.
He says that he and coaches and athletic directors got on a phone call and invited athletes to join them. And they were joined by roughly 25 athletes to try to gauge what they were feeling and what questions they might have. And they were honest with them about some of the challenges and also about the need of these athletes to commit and to be disciplined.
When they're in the sports environment, when they're in a training room, a locker room, a weight room, they're in a controlled environment, and we can do a pretty good job of disinfecting and sanitizing and using social distancing. It's when you're away from the complex and when you're in your apartment or you're off to a party or you're doing something around other people that you know may be a risky behavior.
That's so true, and I've said it a lot. You've heard me talk about it if you listen to the show. The discipline, the accountability, the structure, to me, seems like a better environment for young people than leaving them to their own devices and having extra time on their hands. And I hope we don't get to the point. I mean, it's hard to say because I want you to understand the full point, not just the first half of this. I am glad the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC are moving forward. And I hope that they get their entire seasons in. I hope their protocols work. I hope the athletes are committed. I hope that this is a rousing success, similar to what we've seen in the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball. Because baseball, still the majority of those athletes and travel parties are clean as a whistle. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I hope that's the case with the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC. And as much as it would pain me, I hope that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 look at the success of the other three in their unit, their Power Five, and say, crap, we could have done it. I mean, it would suck for the athletes who didn't get that chance. But I hope that's the scenario that we're in come November, come December. At this point, we don't know. And a lot of the questions revolve around the connection between this myocarditis and viruses. It's not just the coronavirus. There has been a connection established in the past with other viruses like the flu, like the common cold. And so while the science and the research are being done and doctors and medical experts are looking at it, you obviously have different people who are interpreting it different ways. You can all read about it on your own. Thankfully, it appears, according to the medical experts, that it is treatable if you're ready for it, if you catch it. And it's a rare heart condition. We're not talking about every person who gets the coronavirus or common cold or the H1N1 flu, whatever it is. The Big 12 is alerted to it, is aware of it, and is going to be extremely cautious when it comes to heart conditions with the athletes who may test positive.
We have talked to experts on cardiac care after viruses and during viruses, and the indication from them is that there are reasons for concern, and that if we have positive tests, we need to make sure that prior to the time student athletes return to high activity, they receive cardiac MRIs and echocardiograms and EKGs.
The preparation is so, so important. And I wish that potentially the other conferences could have pushed back the start date so that they would have more time to prepare. but they felt like the uncertainty was too much to overcome. We will find out, won't we? That's the one thing about 2020 that is so obvious. Despite all the uncertainty and the unprecedented times that we're in, the year just keeps moving. And we just keep taking pages off that calendar. And we just keep moving to the next month. And here we are. It's August 13th. I was walking with a friend of mine on Tuesday. And we were gaping at the fact that it's mid-August. We sounded like minor birds. August? 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 Mid-August? How did we get here? How did we get here? How did we get here? I mean, we didn't really have any answers. We just kept asking that ridiculous question. Is it really mid-August? Yes. Yes, it is. All right. Coming up, Dr. Alan Sills of the NFL has weighed in on not just the virus testing for the league, but also some of the protocols that they put in place as the NFL marches forward. And we'll do some more hockey and hoops as well. Because it's the playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Darnold in the shotgun from the 1 yard line. Le'Veon Bell to his right. Three receivers to the right. Demaryius Thomas motions left. Sam Darnold takes the snap, gives to Bell up the middle. At the goal line, he's in. That's a jet touchdown. Le'Veon Bell goes over from 1 yard out, and the Jets retake the lead. 8 seconds gone by, fourth quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ah, that play-by-play from the NFL. Even if November is only NFL, a few conferences in college football, which I think we could still get some great competition. We know what the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 have been about the last couple of years. Even if it's that and it's the Masters, I would still be happy. I'm telling you what, if the NFL returns and continues playing, you will not hear one peep of complaint from me. And that is a new house rule. No complaining. If the NFL returns, no complaining. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bob Wischusen, the play-by-play voice of the Jets radio network. So here's the latest from Dr. Alan Sills, who is the chief medical officer of the National Football League. This is great news, peeps. It's great news. I know it's a fluid situation, but to start out, the NFL, the players, the coaches, the team personnel, they are taking this seriously. And I don't know if the league is giving them much choice because the league is not messing around here. But the coronavirus testing program has yielded only a 0.46% positive testing rate. How about that? Not even a 0.5% of the tests that are conducted routinely. We're talking about thousands of them. Not even 0.5% have come back positive. And get this, through Tuesday. Now remember, when the guys got into the facilities, they had to have 3 negative tests before they were allowed to participate with their teammates, their coaches, yada, yada. Through Tuesday, the league has done more than 109,000 tests. I mean, that goes back only to what, July 28th? I don't remember the exact date when they were, I guess I can look at my calendar, the exact date when they were beginning to show up at the facilities. There was a drop dead. Yes, July 28th, the drop dead for veterans to report. And there were rookies before that. But they've done 109,000 tests and change. And the overall positive rate is 0.46%. For the players, little higher, 0.8%. So the players' positive rate is still well below 1%. And that's way down from their initial intake process, which was nearly 2% overall. Well, 2% for players, 1.7% for everybody. So remember, they're testing team personnel, staffers, coaches, league personnel. But this is pretty amazing. The questions, of course, whether or not these athletes could take it seriously, would they do the what they need to do when it came to their families? Now, you know, multiple teams have rented out hotels, and while it is not required, it's recommended for the guys to stay there at least through the training camp process. And right now, as players get set to begin actual practices, traditional practices, the positive rates are way down. And so Dr. Alan Sills has indicated they are pleasantly surprised. I love that. We are pleasantly surprised. How often have we been pleasantly surprised in 2020 at how few positive tests we had? He says our players, staff, and coaches have done a terrific job of staying uninfected. And the NFL is testing daily since camp opened. So this is good news. It's a good pattern to start out. Similar to the NBA and the NHL. It's good news from pro sports. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, coming up. We're going to pull on the skates. I look like a baby giraffe on skates, but we're going to do it anyway. And we'll talk NHL Stanley Cup postseason. Awesome. Awesome to start.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So sets up Smith, backhander, score! Roofed it! Riley Smith with his second goal of the period. Knights on top 4-1 with 11:46 to go in the third. Another Marchessault to Smith connection. Riley lifted it by the left shoulder of Crawford on his backhand.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
In the Vegas Golden Knights opening... opening series win against the Chicago Blackhawks. Riley Smith with a pair of goals and an assist. And Vegas is scoring like nobody's business. Now 19 goals so far in Edmonton. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dan Duva on the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. From Las Vegas, we are pleased to welcome Justin Emerson, who covers the Golden Knights and the NHL for Las Vegas, thank you. What has jumped out at you, Justin, about the way the Golden Knights have restarted?
I think one of the more impressive things has just been how ready they were to restart. A couple of these teams in the round robins have kind of looked like they're treating them as glorified exhibition games. And being totally frank, I kind of thought the Golden Knights would do that too. Like, these round robins, like, they were for seeding, so in some way they were important, but also at the same time, not really. So I kind of thought that they'd take these games and just make sure everything was ready to go, but no, they came out ready to go and they rolled through the round robin and they picked up their game one win against Chicago on Tuesday. And so as far as that goes, I've been very impressed with just how ready they were to go as soon as the puck dropped.
You say you thought they might not treat him quite as seriously, more like exhibition games. Is that because they didn't necessarily value the one seed or because of something else they said?
Oh, no. I mean, they always said that they had valued the one seed, but, you know, like Coach Peter DeBoer had mentioned that he was still kind of getting an idea of how his lines were going to work, and lead scorer Max Pacioretty wasn't there for the round robin, and they hadn't decided on a starting goalie yet. So it wasn't necessarily anything that the team said, but it was just kind of a thought, like, okay, like, they want the one seed, sure, but I feel like there are other things that are more important, making sure that it's ready to go once the playoffs start for real. And they managed to do all those things, but also get the one seed. So, it's been a real good start for Vegas, for sure.
I'm glad you brought up Coach DeBoer. Interesting, both one seeds, the East and the West, have new coaches. Now, Peter is obviously new from in-season, as opposed to Alain Vigneault, who is with the Flyers, at least for the course of the year. But when you think about the experience of Coach DeBoer, how much does that matter to a Golden Knights squad? Well, it does have some veterans that now has a leader who has been to the Stanley Cup Final.
Sure, yeah. I think that's a big thing. And not like their previous coach, Gerard Gallant, had been to the Stanley Cup Final with Vegas just 2 years ago. But to bring in a guy like DeBoer, who had been to the Stanley Cup Final in his first year with New Jersey and had been to the Stanley Cup Final in his first year with San Jose, I mean, just looking at it, turns out anywhere he goes, they go to the Stanley Cup Final in the first year. But to have a guy like that who's experienced, and he came in when the team was struggling and was out of a playoff spot, and I remember sitting in his introductory press conference, and he said, you know, this is a good team. It's got a lot of talent, but I'm going to bring in a couple of my things that are, he called them non-negotiables, and, you know, just certain systematic changes that he wanted to bring to the team. And it's worked so far. And when the season paused back in March, the Golden Knights were, you know, playing some of the best hockey in the league, and that hasn't stopped now that the season's resumed.
Justin Emerson covers the Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL for the Las Vegas Sun, joining us now after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Well, you set me up. You know I can't not ask about these changes, these non-negotiables. So what is different? What did he change after taking over for Coach Gallant?
A couple of things here and there. He changed around a couple of lines a little bit. And, you know, there was an emphasis on defensemen jumping into the rush a little bit more. And, you know, the team was blocking shots a little bit more, and wanted to shorten up the shift so that players were, you know, more rested and ready to go at the end of the games. And just kind of small things here and there. It wasn't like he, you know, was changing anybody's position or making radical changes. And it was things that if you weren't looking for it, you might not have noticed at first. But, and that's, when it comes to hockey, I mean, so many teams play so similarly that it is kind of, it's in the margins where teams win and lose games so often. And it was there that DeBoer was able to institute his changes and make a tangible difference with the Golden Knights over the last 20 some odd games or so that he played, that they played with him before the season paused.
That's crazy, right? You bring in a new coach and there's a handful of games and maybe a little more than a dozen, and then boom, the entire thing gets shut down and there's the waiting and the wondering and all the questions that don't have answers. How did coach and how did the team stay together over the shutdown?
That's a good question. And a lot of them stayed in Las Vegas, and that was the thing that you know, teams everywhere kind of decided to do on their own. And Golden Knights had a lot of guys, as every team does, that are from other places, from other countries even, but so many players stayed in Las Vegas and they were able to communicate. They had daily FaceTime videos and calls and just trying to be informed as to when are we going to start, when are we going to go. And everybody was working out at home in their home gyms and lifting weights and on the stationary bikes or whatever. And then as soon as teams were allowed back on the ice, back in their team facilities, the Golden Knights didn't have to worry about players quarantining when they came back in, or players trying to get back in, having international issues coming back to the country. Mm. And they were already all here. So they were able to get on the ice, and most of the team, almost all of it was here when it started. So they've been skating together longer than a lot of other teams have.
Certainly, Las Vegas is a place that is normally teeming with sports. So not just the hockey now with the Golden Knights, but of course the brand new stadium that's been built for football. They're not going to have fans this year. There's the sports gambling element, the casinos, and it's been open for a little while, but you're there. What's it like now compared to what it was like before everything shut down?
I'll tell you, Amy, it is weird. My wife and I remember right before casinos had opened back up. That was the big thing when casinos closed in Las Vegas.
Sure.
That just doesn't happen. So right before they opened up, we got down to the strip and just kind of walked it. And it was spooky to just see it empty, to see not people running around and to hear the gaming machines going off and see all the lights and everything. And it was a very surreal experience. And, just to not have, like you said, there's plenty of sports in Vegas outside of the Golden Knights. The Las Vegas Aces weren't playing. The Las Vegas Lights soccer team. The Raiders are coming this year. This was supposed to be their first year in Las Vegas, and now that's going to be played without fans. And to not have baseball and soccer and basketball and hockey and everything that Las Vegas is used to having, it's bizarre and still getting used to. Because even though these sports are coming back, there's still nothing here. There's soccer here right now, the Las Vegas Lights, but you know, fans can't go to those. So it's still something that Las Vegas, like everywhere else, is still dealing with and trying to figure out.
Justin Emerson is with us from Las Vegas, covers the Knights and the NHL. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's think about that team that went to the Stanley Cup Final in its inception, so its very first year. What would you say are the biggest differences between that squad and the one today, outside of the coaching change?
Well, there's a lot of the same kind of core players. I think that there's, I think I counted it the other day, that there's 11 players on this year's team that were on that team. So about half of them. But I think the biggest difference is you have kind of different stars. You've got Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty are here now, and Paul Stastny wasn't on that team. And you kind of have a lot of your same group of players, but even Marc-Andre Fleury, the goalie's still here, but he didn't start game one. Robin Leonard did. So it's a lot of the same team, but it's it is still kind of like if you had watched the Stanley Cup final run and then you didn't tune in and you kind of hadn't paid attention to Golden Knights hockey and you just turned back in now, you'd be surprised at kind of seeing that this is a team that's poised to make another deep playoff run with only about half of the same guys that were there just two seasons ago. So it is a different squad, but the ambitions are still the same for sure.
What are your impressions of what we've seen in Edmonton, which is the Western Conference hub to this point?
Well, obviously I'm not there, so I can't say for sure, but everything from the outside, I mean, it looks spectacular. I mean, the games on TV look good as they can be with no fans. I think the NHL has done a really good job in that regard. I think the most important and the most impressive thing has just been the lack of positive COVID-19 tests. They've all been there for 2-3 weeks now in that bubble in Edmonton and in Toronto too, in the other bubble. And they haven't had a positive test yet. And that's just remarkable and a testament to how hard the NHL and the NHL Players Association worked to make this happen. And the fact that we can all enjoy hockey right now and write about hockey and watch hockey. And as of right now anyway, and who knows, hopefully it lasts, we don't have to worry about coronavirus in hockey right now.
You know, it really struck me when the five overtime game was stretching on and on and on. And I know that the NHL has done a good job of pumping the crowd noise in and not making it overbearing, but it does in fact sound like there are people there and can carry the players along. But I kept thinking, I wonder if there would be more adrenaline. I wonder if the guys would have, you know, that extra win, second win, third win, fourth win, whatever it was. If there would be any difference if the fans were there. And that kind of struck me then as, wow, they're playing on and on and on and on, and they're doing it kind of on their own on a little island.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because you're playing in empty arenas. And, I mean, it's playoff hockey, so the intensity's there, and obviously the players know the stakes and all that. But when you think of playoff hockey, you think of the atmosphere inside the arena. You think about 18,000 fans going nuts and waving towels and screaming, and like if the home team's getting a power play in overtime, just how much that building is rocking. And that's just not there. Like, you can pump in the crowd noise all you want, the players know it's not real, and we know we're watching on TV that it's not real. But I mean, I think it's the, like you said, kind of the best option that they've got, but it is still very apparent that it's not playoff hockey how we're all used to.
What do the players say about empty arenas, even with the crowd noise?
I think they're getting used to it. They had mentioned, like, the first game, we had asked them about the crowd noise, and one of them said it was a little quiet, another said that they didn't hear it, and that was back during the exhibition game. But, no, I think it's they're all getting used to it, and we're at the point now that, I mean, it's kind of a hockey cliche, but, I mean, you're in the playoffs now, and if you need crowd noise to get you fired up or get ready, then you're probably in the wrong state of mind going into a playoff game.
I have been really impressed with the intensity in actually both basketball and hockey. As you say, they get locked in, they get focused. Maybe they don't even realize it when the heat, when the heat is on. But the intensity that they have brought to the table seems to have compensated for the strangeness of the atmospheres.
Yeah, I would agree with that entirely. Like, you look at the Rangers Hurricane series. I think there was a fight 5 minutes into the game one of their qualifying round series. So clearly they don't need fans to ramp up the intensity. But it's clear. I mean, you see an overtime goal and you see the players on the bench going nuts just like they normally do. And, it is pretty impressive that as far as the intensity of the players is concerned and just kind of the in-game TV presentation that the league's been able to kind of create, that when a big moment happens, you kind of forget for a split second that you are watching a game on TV inside of an empty giant arena. So that's, like you said, it's tough, and it's obviously not the playoff hockey we're used to, but all things considered and the fact that no fans were going to be there, I think it's about as good as it can be.
And so far, so good for the Golden Knights, who had 15 goals in their seeding games and tacked on another 4 in their opener against the Blackhawks, and have game 2 against Chicago coming up on Thursday. You can find Justin Emerson on Twitter at J15Emerson. Covers the Golden Knights as well as the NHL for the Las Vegas Sun. We appreciate a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, thanks for having me on.
The Golden Knights definitely have looked locked in, and we'll see whether or not the Blackhawks can come back and give them more resistance, but they're scoring. Has been awesome. And obviously their goalie used to be with the Blackhawks, or the little piece of that You know, that reminds me actually of what we'll see in one of the first round series in the NBA. And certainly this happens throughout sports now with the advent of free agency. But the Celtics and the Sixers will play each other the season after, the year after Al Horford jumped ship and went from Boston to Philadelphia. And so we'll talk more about the playoffs as they get closer. In the NBA, they begin on Monday, so they're wrapping up their seeding games now. With the NHL, we're already underway. Boston needs double overtime to edge the Canes, and so in each day we've had some drama and some sudden death that wasn't so sudden. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So visit geico.com to learn more. As I was talking to Justin, something kind of popped in my brain. So I thought it would be an interesting question to throw out there. We've now had a pretty healthy sample size of hockey, basketball, soccer, golf, NASCAR, whatever your favorite sport is that's returned. The only one we haven't seen without sports is American football, not global football. Which one is strangest without the fans in the stands? Is it baseball, where they've got cardboard cutouts, but you can still hear crowd noise? Whether you're watching or you're listening, nothing's silent except for golf. Golf is the only thing in which there is silence. NASCAR fills that void as soon as they are in the cars. And we've seen the networks adjust, right? We've seen Fox and NBC and ESPN and ABC. We've seen them kind of play and tinker with the audio and the visual. And we've seen them adjust. MLS started out dead quiet, and now they pipe in crowd noise. I think looking at what the NBA and the NHL had to offer, they felt unworthy. So which of the sports is missing fans the most? And I don't care if you're telling me from an optic standpoint or from an audio standpoint. Which one do you think is missing the most? And which one do you think has been fine or has been the best at compensating for the empty stadiums? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we'll put up a spot on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. It's good to have you on board. Our fourth show of the work week. It's flying. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.